if contemplating the wonder of creation, as we did 2 Sundays ago, just the beauty of the universe, the size of the stars, lifts us up, then considering the chaos of life, the problems in the world, and the contradictions of our own actions can bring us down. Surprisingly, this situation can actually bear good fruits. Fulton Sheen said that while maybe some people might be attracted to God because of the order in the world, probably more people today might be open to God because of the disorder that we experience in our daily lives. Anyone can agree, no matter your faith, political inclination, state in life, anyone would agree that life as we experience it now in our time is really not what it should be. Anyone would agree that we need something, that we need a change, that we need an answer. Where, how do we find an answer, but a real one? We've tried so many things. Tried to find a good leader, a good politician that you can trust, and it is very hard to find one. Try to change all those bad things, stop sinning, and it feels like some things are there to stay forever. Pray, we hear all the time. Just pray, try to be good, and you don't even know where to start. One thing is clear. We cannot, by ourselves, fix the problems that we experience. We cannot fix the brokenness in our hearts by ourselves. We cannot fix the problems and the brokenness in the world. We cannot do it by ourselves. The damage is just too deep. So, is there no hope? Well, there is hope, but not because suddenly we will find the method that will lead us to fix everything. There is hope because God is real, because God is love, and because he will not abandon us. He himself comes to save us. And I would like to pause right now and invite you to think very carefully about what we are saying. God comes to save us. The problem is that we hear things like this every time we come to church, as we should. But we at times develop this sort of routine noise cancellation system in our ears in which all these things sound more or less the same. They sound okay. We're not against them, but we don't necessarily truly believe and are moved. God comes to save us. Salvation is not just a matter of cosmetics, of improvement here and there. It is salvation. Being condemned to death and suddenly rescued. It is redemption. Being enslaved and surprisingly, without any merit, being liberated. The damage is so profound. Because it's not just a defect of character. Because we're talking about sin, the mystery of sin with all its power. The debt that we all have is so steep because it is not just about at times not being nice. We're talking about the rejection of God. Only God then can pay that debt. Only God can heal that wound. And he did. God became man in Jesus. Again, one of those statements that surprises probably no one, and yet that should penetrate more and more our hearts. Our life as disciples of Christ, in one sense, is this constant process of believing more in that which we know, of accepting more the proclamation of the good news. God became one of us, to share in our lives, in absolutely everything except sin. God knows very well what it feels to be a human being. God wanted to save us from within, not comfortably, perhaps giving us some good advice or some medicine. He wanted to feel what we feel, to save us from within. He was born so that he can die and pay the high price of our rescue. And we need to be very clear, Christ did not die on the cross just to make our lives a little bit better, just to maybe help us in our projects or bring some improvements to our life. Salvation is not just improvement. He died because the damage was so profound that only his sacrifice could bring freedom to our lives. St. Thomas Aquinas said that God shows his omnipotence, the fact that he's all-powerful, not only in creating the universe, but in a very special way, in pardoning, in showing mercy. Now, this is such a bold statement that we need to think twice about this. God shows that he's all-powerful more than in creating all the stars and planets and the whole universe. More than that, when he forgives, when he shows mercy. And why? Because salvation is precisely a new creation. God chose freely to create the planets and the stars and us. But after sin, and after every sin that we commit, God freely, with greater freedom, without any duty, chooses again and again, not just to give life, but to forgive. Jesus came not only to fix this part or that part in creation or in our hearts, but to actually make of us a new creation. God came not just to fix the score, as we were saying last Sunday, but to compose a new song. And this is why the church sings only at the Easter Vigil what might be the ultimate paradox and the most beautiful melody. Oh, happy fault. Again, words that we need to actually think. We can say, oh, happy fault. Oh, necessary sin of Adam, which gained for us so great a redeemer. After Christ, life can be even greater than in the beginning. True, there is death, there is illness, there is weakness, there is pain. But there is Christ. And because he became one of us, then we can become like God. The good news which John the Baptist proclaimed and that we celebrate in such a beautiful way on this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete, expressing joy in so many ways, the good news is not that Jesus fixed all the world problems. The real cause for joy and for hope is that Christ redeemed everything. And therefore that everything can be an occasion to love everything. And for this, today, we rejoice. We do not fear, we're not disappointed. We rejoice, for indeed the Lord is near.